Hey Shravia, I've seen some really concerning news these past few days.
Really? What happened?
Is the world number one still alive?
What do you mean? Of course he is.
I mean, the vigils they're holding for him and his father calling him a modern Jesus could have fooled me. Hello everyone, and welcome to Hold On To Your Racket, the podcast for Gen Z tennis fans. We're your hosts, Josefina.
And Shravia.
Shravia and I are so excited to be creating this podcast and sharing our love for tennis with you all.
Josefina and I are two high school gals and tennis fanatics, united together by our on-the-court and off-the-court companionship.
And we're the female Gen Z voices in modern-day tennis you've been looking for, so we hope you enjoy this episode and stay tuned for more.
Alright, welcome to Season 3 of Hold On To Your Racket. It is 2022, so Happy New Year. If you take a look back to 1 year ago, we were reporting on the craziness of the Australian Open hard quarantine drama and the special treatment given to the players who were allowed to play the exhibition tournaments in Adelaide and all that sort of stuff. And would you look at that, the happiest slam, or what's it called, the happy slam, is already starting with quite a fair bit of drama, and it is, what, 5 or 6 days into the new year? Well, I mean, it started yesterday, but, I mean, yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah, it is quite a lot. We thought last year, we were complaining, we were saying, dang, you know, our first Australian Open and there's so much to cover. Like, at least give us a chance to warm up or something. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I guess they really did warm us up because here we are and there is so much drama, or as we call it, tea.
So. Exactly. We want to say with the caveat that you probably already know what story we're talking about here, but this is a developing story. A lot of people are confused, including probably you guys, and definitely ourselves, until we did a little bit more research aside from just social media and skimming through articles to try to figure out what's happening and have a pretty decent idea of what is generally known about the situation, but there is still a lot of speculation around these topics that you'll see online. So we kind of want to stay away from that and try to provide whatever information is currently out there to you in an easy way, while also making sure that we do mention where we're getting some of the more specific information from, because there's a lot going on.
Yeah, so just in case you haven't caught on, the story is Novak Djokovic being deported from Australia.
Yeah. Would you ever think that
That sentence,
this deserves a movie.
Not.
This needs to be made into a movie.
Netflix documentary coming out.
Andrew Garfield starring as Novak Djokovic. He dyes his hair black and he'll be perfect for the role.
Okay.
Maybe that'll make me feel a little bit more sympathetic.
Not feel sympathetic whatsoever, because, okay, here's the deal. So the Australian Open vaccine mandate was announced in November. So already since then, there was speculation around whether Djokovic would be even attending the Australian Open, since he's made it clear that he is not vaccinated. He likes to advertise it, actually. And that's part of what got him into this whole
mess. Part of his charm.
Oh my god, he's amazing. So yeah, in case you didn't know, he is going for his 10th Australian Open title and record-breaking 21 Grand Slams. So, I mean, it makes sense that he went kind of insane for this one, because he is losing a lot since it is his best Open and he was going for that record-breaking 21. But
I mean, there was a very easy solution.
Yeah,
but
yep, so I mean, easy,
so whatever easy. We'll get
okay
to that.
Yeah,
so yesterday, Wednesday, this episode's coming out on Friday, but on Wednesday, Djokovic posted on Instagram saying that he said, "Happy New Year, I hope your families are healthy," and I rolled my eyes as soon as I read the next sentence, which is that he said he would be attending the Australian Open because he has received an exemption. very strange to say that you've received an exemption, I think, from a PR standpoint, and clearly looking at what happened. I don't understand why, but then again, sort of talking more thematically, we actually talked a little bit about this in our episode with Steve Flink. It seems that Djokovic has really embraced the role of being a villain, or like a rebel, in a sense, standing up against the quote-unquote establishment in tennis.
Okay.
His synonym for Fidal. But basically, the point is, in that post, he made it clear that he was in a way flaunting the fact that, haha, I got my way, I stayed unvaxxed, and I'm still able to come here and play my tennis. And let's make it clear, we're not particularly in the tennis sense, we're not Djokovic fans per se, but we appreciate his success on the court. No one wants to not see him make history, like, not appreciate the fact that he's making history, and surely people would like to see that if he had come fairly and abided by the rules. But again, we'll get into that. So essentially in this post, he was flaunting his exemption, making it clear, and it was really a big slap in the face to Australians who have gone through lockdown for 2 years now and have really tried hard to keep their vaccination rates up and keep COVID down, but it is really difficult to do so. And just to see an athlete like this getting away with that is disheartening. I can't even imagine what people are feeling like. And the reason that this was a bit surprising was because he had withdrawn from the ATP Cup just a week or so before. So that's where people started asking questions like, huh, what does this mean about his Australian Open prospects?
Yeah, so he arrived at the Melbourne airport on Wednesday, and that's kind of where all of this started. So was he allowed to participate in the first place? Like, what was he doing in the airport in the first place? Well, here's the answer to that. So, in case you didn't know, in order to come into Australia, or therefore participate in the Australian Open, unvaccinated...
Well, actually, that's the distinction there. I thought you were saying something else. Totally correct. Yeah. I spoke too soon.
Unvaccinated, you need a medical exemption. And so, basically, there's a two-stage blind review process, and Craig Tiley...
And this review process is Tennis Australia and the Australian Open's rules that the government agreed on. This is separate from any border patrol or federal government stuff.
Yeah.
Which is gonna be an issue soon.
So there's the two-stage blind review process where Craig Tiley stressed that Novak received no special treatment in that whole process. And then the exemption application was submitted and approved by Tennis Australia, apparently. And again, that exemption application is a review by the Independent Medical Exemption Review Panel. Yes, that exists. Otherwise known as the IMRP. And they are appointed by the Victoria Department of Health. So, very official stuff. And the qualifications are apparently that players have to have an acute medical condition that prevents them from being vaccinated without, like, serious side effects, or have had COVID in the past 6 months. So, it's definitely interesting because Tiley stressed that Novak received no special treatment in this process, but then again, like, we don't know of a medical condition, and also the last time we've known Novak to have had COVID was in 2020, which was more than a year ago. So, again, this all comes back to the fact that he, posted the exemption on Instagram, and then he kind of, like, said it in a way where, like, even if he did have some sort of medical condition that was, like, that would have allowed him to be exempt from being vaccinated, he chose to take a stance where it was like, I don't know. Him being unvaccinated has always seemed political, and he's made it that way himself.
And he wants to make that clear. Like, I think, like, this is, again, obviously speculation, but from just our point of view, it seems that since he's been flaunting this sort of anti-vaccine stance for so long, that it seems he's basically has invited the skepticism in a way around the validity of his exemption. Now, to be clear, whatever documentation and application for the exemption that was submitted to Tennis Australia and approved by them, and then also approved by that independent medical exemption review panel, clearly was legit to them. I mean, there was clearly something there that they were like, okay, like, if it had gone through a blind review process in two stages. So that's also where it gets confusing, because then it's like, okay, so did he have COVID in the past 6 months? Did he, you know, does he have some acute medical condition? I mean, who knows? Again, like, we can't report that. Obviously, Djokovic has decided to remain private on that matter, which, I mean, everyone is entitled to do so, but in our view, or at least in my view, like, when you're an athlete of this stature and are recklessly talking about vaccines that way, and then completely, like, slapping all Australians in the face, just wanting to walk into their country without following their rules, and trying to get around it with a loophole, or, you know, not even making the attempt to be vaccinated, unless he has some, I don't know, but whatever, it just seems a bit shady. So, on that topic, let's discuss the validity of this reasoning. So, Craig Tiley said that 26 players applied for an exemption and, quote-unquote, a handful were granted it. 99% of the 3,000-plus people coming into Australia for the Australian Open are vaccinated. And the quote-unquote handful that were exempt for either a medical condition or a recent infection, as we said, within the past 6 months. However, Australian health officials had said late last year that a recent infection is not necessarily enough to gain entry into Australia. Now, we're not doctors, so we're not going to make our own decision about whether or not that's a thing. I mean, I don't know. But there clearly seems to be discrepancies here, which is a huge crux of this whole issue. I mean, like, you can talk about Djokovic being anti-vax and, you know, being selfish and not doing the simple thing all you want, but at the same time, these rules are so, like, dodgy and unclear, and there seems to be a bit of inconsistency that it's also, like, Australia, like, Australian Open, Craig Tiley, Scott Morrison, what is going on? This is very strange.
Yeah, so, again, there's that, like, whole underlying, like, is this all just, like, this whole political show after they realized that they messed up? Because I think the fact that people got so angry after they found out from Djokovic flaunting it, that was his own choice. Like, the Australian health officials and, you know, Tennis Australia saw that they were like, oh, we need to clean this up now because he's made a huge fool of us, as well as the entire population of Australia. Yeah. So we cannot.
Both parties are definitely at wrong.
Yeah.
Here. Because it has been politicized.
But again, that's that's like a theory, and it's a very likely theory, but again, like, it's not proven. So technically, we never said that. So everybody here is sharing, like, a big secret, okay? Okay. So, like we said before, he arrived in Melbourne at the airport on Wednesday, okay? But what had happened was that his visa, apparently, did not approve those vaccine exemptions that apparently he had been given previously, and therefore he did not meet the federal and ABF entry requirements to enter Australia. So upon arrival in Australia, the Australian Border Force detained him at the airport and canceled his visa because of this. And also they held him overnight without his phone. And did they take away the cellular devices of his team? I don't think so, right?
Because I don't think so, because his coach posted a photo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goran Ivanisevic posted a photo.
That was funny. That was...
Yeah.
He might have gotten in trouble for that, but that was really funny.
Yeah. So here's where we want to make the big distinction between what Australian Border Force, a.k.a. federal government, is saying versus the Tennis Australia medical review and that independent board. So these are clearly two different entities having two different opinions on the validity, the merit of this vaccine exemption to qualify for entry into Australia. Again, why are these rules not more clear? Whatever. So the acting sports minister of Victoria, Jala Pulford, said, quote, "We've always been clear on two points. Visa approvals are a matter for the federal government, and medical exemptions are a matter for doctors." So setting aside this exemption debacle and whether or not that is fair for him to get that exemption, even if he got one, he wasn't allowed in because of those federal visa regulations. And those are the rules and those are the laws. So, I mean, as Pulford said, that's how it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a bit unclear, but then again, he should have also been keeping track of these rules.
Yeah, but also the way I've seen everything written, like the way they said it sounds like the exemption never existed in the first place, because like how can you have that medical exemption and then like somehow it's just forgotten when you're coming into the
country?
That's
what
I
some,
don't understand that.
And that's what some reporting has said. I mean, The Age, which is a news agency in Australia, said, quote, "A federal government source familiar with the episode said there were question marks about whether Djokovic had adequate documentation to prove the reason for his exemption. This evidence is required to be presented at the border by unvaccinated people. The source said it was not clear whether a COVID-19 infection in the past 6 months, which is suspected to be the justification for the player's exemption, was sufficient to secure entry into Australia under federal guidelines." And this is what we were just mentioning about what Australian health officials said late last year about this whole six-month infection thing.
Yeah, and then also from The Age, Paul Sackle, who has been doing some close reporting of this story, said, "The Djokovic paperwork on arrival was minimal and only supported by one doctor," sources said, "far less substantive than the three others who entered using the same vaccine exemption. When officials asked him to hand up more documentation, none was produced." So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Because as we said before, quote-unquote, a handful of players have been allowed in with an exemption. So Djokovic isn't the only one. But the question is, okay, why are they allowed there and why is he not there? This reporting may allude to that. Also, considering the fact that maybe not all of those players applied for the same reason.
Yeah.
Exemption.
No,
but
definitely.
Again, question marks. Yeah.
Because, like, the player field is so large. I'm sure there was at least a couple of players who literally cannot get vaccinated with, like, genuine reason.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's so shady the fact that, like, Djokovic is the world number one. He's here to take his big 21, like, and everyone was thinking, wait, there's no way he can't be here. And also, he brings back a lot of revenue, so that's another thing to remember here.
Yeah. It's and he was going to make history at that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most likely he was going to win. I mean, no one's been able to stop him at the Australian Open for the past 9 years. So, like... That's incorrect. Wait, I just said false information.
No, not in a row.
You know what I meant.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I meant.
He's had
an
era, yeah.
Yeah. So then Australian Border Force, obviously, because of this visa issue, has threatened to deport Djokovic to Serbia, as Josephine was saying, detain him at the airport overnight, the beginning portion of which he was without his cell phone. And we're going to get into some opinions people had about that and saying that, you know, he was unfairly treated, whatever, we're going to get into that. But let's sort of tie the ends on this story. So Scott Morrison, the Australian Prime Minister, said in a tweet, quote, "Rules are rules, especially when it comes to our borders. No one is above these rules. Our strong border policies have been critical to Australia having one of the lowest death rates in the world from COVID. We are continuing to be vigilant." I see Josephina nodding her head because this is all valid stuff here. And Morrison is right. But
no,
at the same time,
so hard. Like, have you seen how hard Australia has struggled to like be so safe and keep their citizens safe? Like, they turned away like genuine citizens of Australia at the border. Like, people could not come home for years
to visit their families.
Yeah.
To
like
attend
Ash Barty
like,
last year said she didn't see her family for long because she was playing on tour.
Exactly. Now, all fair points, and I mean, Morrison's words are true, but then again, it's very hard to ignore that this whole thing has been politicized in a way, because in the aftermath of such public outrage over this whole issue. So that's why it's so hard to talk about these stories, and why I think it's so interesting also to talk about this stuff when it involves sports because it involves celebrities. And celebrities are easy to politicize, and they are inherently politicized. And when you have this conflation of science, public health, celebrity, sports, yeah. money, politics, and immigration policy, it's a lot of, it's very easy to become conflated. And that is why, again, we want to caveat that this is all stuff that is being reported, but it's so hard to see what the actual story is unless we're walking right behind Djokovic, unless we're sitting in Craig Tiley's office, unless clearly with Scott Morrison. Like, there's so many people involved that it's a lot going on. And speaking of politicization and people being involved, we're going to move to another country.
Yeah, so the Serbian president got involved. Alexander Vucic said, I told Novak that the whole of Serbia is with him and that our bodies are doing everything to see that the harassment of the world's best The harassment of the world's best tennis player is brought to an end immediately. In line with all norms of international law, Serbia will fight for Novak, truth, and justice. Novak is strong, as we all know. Okay. I mean, I already told Travi about this. So I was like, well, here comes the Serbian-Australian war, but okay.
Yeah, so clearly a lot of people getting involved here. If you have the moment to, please do search up what Djokovic's dad has been saying about this thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely unreal.
Yeah, and then obviously, like, Novak Djokovic, like we said, there's a lot riding on him being able to play at this Australian Open. So obviously he wasn't going to go down without a fight. So he actually filed an appeal to a federal judge while this was happening, or after the decision was made that his visa would be canceled. And they're set to meet at 10 a.m. on Monday, apparently. And he was moved to a quarantine hotel in the city. And the earliest date of deportation is still Monday because they still have to meet, obviously. And he is at the Park Hotel Melbourne. So if you want to go visit him, go ahead. And it's reportedly a crappy hotel. And, like, it's meant for ABF detainees. Obviously, people, like, in a little bit of trouble, you know, like, not great stuff. And there's been, like, fires, COVID outbreaks, mold, bugs and foods, you know, only the best for the world number one. So if denied his
visa,
if denied his visa, Djokovic might possibly not be allowed to come back into Australia until 2025. So, like, he's really gotten himself into, like, legal trouble now, because coming in with, like, you have to understand how, like, this is a pretty large scale thing that's going on, and he's in a lot of trouble, actually. And it's not that people are trying to downplay it, but so many other issues that are involved in this thing, like Shravia was saying, like, so many people have gotten involved that it's kind of, like, undermine the fact that Djokovic is in legal trouble. Like, that's the point. Like, that's our point. We're just giving you the facts.
And I think the most scary part of this whole thing is that this is with legal trouble, with politicization, with this whole thing about, you know, not being allowed into the country and being deported, comes with the question of, like, freedom and vaccination. And this is very quickly, this Djokovic situation is becoming an anthem for anti-vaxxers, which is incredibly terrifying in terms of, first of all, does Djokovic want to be associated with that? Second of all, what does this mean for fans and how they may want to align with that?
We've seen
in the past, I'm getting meta level here, but we've seen in the past how sports and politics coming together can be a good thing. Like, it can give players the platform to advocate for issues that they care about. But at the same time, especially when science is thrown into the mix of it, or when it gets this heated, like, you end up becoming a brand for particular political movements that maybe you didn't want to be associated with anyways. And this certainly isn't a good look for Djokovic, and the fact that it's becoming picked up as a vaccine issue
yeah.
is really scary, because at the end of the day, Australia's rules say, the federal government rules say, you can't enter if you aren't vaccinated and you don't have a valid reason for not being having one.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The federal government has said clear cut that no, Novak does not have a fair reason to come in. And, you know, he is subject to that decision because he chose to not get vaccinated and come into a country where its people have worked so hard to make sure that rule stays in place. So just to wrap this up, the crux of the issue is, again, that the Tennis Australia / Australian Open's view on the exemption versus the Feds' view on the exemption is different, right? So Tennis Australia has given him an exemption to participate in the Australian Open, but the federal government hasn't given or hasn't authorized him to enter Australia, aka his visa. So again, this is very much a developing story. We want to make sure that, you know, we're updating you guys on this as we go. But if there are a few last points we wanted to say, it's like, first of all, this could have all been avoided had he gotten vaccinated. Second of all, it is kind of confusing why these exemptions are in place in the first place. Like, it is confusing. Obviously, the situation has really been politicized. There's a lot of discrepancies between the Australian Open policies and the federal government policies, which is really frustrating. And other thing is, a lot of people have been saying, talking about the unfairness of his detainment and sort of the cruelty of that situation. And yeah, it does expose a lot of issues with Border Patrol forces. Like, to be living in that kind of hotel, it's unfair for anyone. But reality check, there are thousands of refugees and detainees in those same situations dealing with a lot worse, who aren't, you know, celebrity athletes like
Djokovic. And they don't have places to go back to.
Exactly. And to act like Djokovic is the most oppressed person in the world, to hold vigils for him.
Yeah.
To hold vigils for him, for his dad to call him, like, Jesus being crucified. Like, it's all very tone-deaf.
No, I've seen people, like, actively using slogans from other, like, recent political movements that we've had, like, even Black Lives Matter. Like,
really?
Parodied for this thing.
Oh my god. I've seen stuff about, like, relating it to Peng Shuai.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
exactly.
I've seen hashtag where is Novak Djokovic or hashtag it's free Novak, and I'm like,
so
oh my god.
Ignorant. It's insane.
It's so ignorant. It's so ignorant. And to bring it all back, I mean, Djokovic's actions, his, you know, anti-vax rhetoric, his... We are tiptoeing around the topic prompted the speculation around the validity of his exemption. That's plain and simple. Like, it warranted that. And the fact that he posted that and flaunted that exemption and, you know, didn't get vaccinated is also tone deaf, because Australians have really been trying hard. Huh.
Yeah.
I think we successfully vented our concerns.
I think we did, because I was angry about that for a long time. But
yeah.
Honestly, yeah. I was honestly more angry when I found out that he would be playing in the Australian Open. And then you were actively spamming me with all the Twitter updates and everything.
Oh, I was. The memes were too good.
I needed to know. Because yeah. I was in the middle of my chemistry class, or biology, and I was just like, my phone was right next to me under the desk, and I was like, what is happening? What the hell?
We're just being deported. That's what's happening.
How cells work does not matter right now.
Yes. But, I mean, with all this chaos going on, there is actual tennis still going on in Australia, and we are going to talk about it in Tennis Talk, but a couple of other quick things that Josephine is going to tell you about very briefly.
Yes, so we actually wrote an article, which is pretty cool, I try not to say in collaboration with Popcorn Tennis, because we wrote it, but, like, they posted it on their blog website, so go mm-hmm. check it out. It's Popcorn Tennis. You'll find it if you just look up Popcorn Tennis. And the article is called ATP You've Let Us Down, because they have been quite problematic in recent times, especially considering their stance on the Peng Shuai situation and also their own domestic violence policies that have
or lack just thereof.
Don't exist. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So go check it out, you know, educate yourself. We're here to provide you all the information that we can, and we pride ourselves in being pretty candid, as you might have seen in this entire conversation, but yeah. And also, we got nominated for the Sports Podcast Awards, so you can head over to their website and vote for us. For best, is it tennis sports podcast?
We got shortlisted for best tennis podcast along with just a few others. So, I mean,
the few others don't really
matter. To flex or anything. Yeah. But go ahead, give us a vote. We're going to probably post the link more on our social media as we navigate that more, cuz we literally just found out the news a few hours ago.
Yes.
But thank you guys for always making this a fun thing for us. We're going to close the book on discussing this Djokovic thing today for the most part. Yes. And let's get into tennis talk.
So now that we've covered all the drama painstakingly, but we got it done, you know, it's like those chores that you don't want to do. But we had to talk about it. And honestly, it was beneficial to our mental health because we needed to rant so badly. But now we're going to talk about the actual tennis that's taking place in Australia, you know, inside the Border Patrol. And first up, we have the ATP Cup. And it was the first tournament of 2022, very much the first tournament of 2022 because it started on January 1st. When I found that out, I thought, wow, I really don't get a break, but I'll be okay, because the players are okay, we think. And so the format...
Unless they have an exemption from being okay.
Oh boy. I'm gonna spend the whole rest of this episode being salty about this whole situation. It's okay, we're okay. It's entertaining. Okay, so the format of the ATP Cup is that it's a country teams competition with a 16-team field and 14 groups. So after round robin elimination, the winner of each group advances to the semifinals and so on. If you don't know what happens after semifinals, you can log off the episode. I'm kidding.
This is also hilarious because the Davis Cup literally ended like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Like yesterday?
So, yeah. And I'm so annoyed that they took away the Hopman Cup, which was basically the ATP Cup, except it was ATP and WTA. So there was mixed doubles, there was men and women, a lot more entertaining in my opinion. But anyways, we're going to go really fast through the results, because today actually the semifinals were decided. So Spain versus Poland is the first semifinal. Spain earned the first place spot in Group A, even without Nadal, with an impressive 8-1 record. They had perfect 3-0 wins against Chile and Norway, and a 2-1 win against Serbia. And their really big stars have been Roberto Bautista Agut and Pablo Carreño Busta, who have both been playing amazing, especially RBA. Like, he has been, I heard one commentator describe his game this week as quote-unquote clinical, and that's scary, because...
Sorry, that's horrible.
another Djokovic joke could be inserted in here.
I know, I was thinking of that.
But he's doing great. We've also have Martinez and ADF, Davidovich Fokina, undefeated as a doubles team. So Spain has been looking really awesome. They are always doing great in these team competitions. And then we also have a resurgence in Polish tennis, as we've been seeing in the past couple of years. And on the ATP side, we've got Hubie Hurkacz leading the way as they made it into the first place position in Group D, also with an 8-1 record. So they had perfect 3-0 wins against Georgia, Basilashvili, and Argentina. And Hurkacz has been undefeated. And one of the players that he beat was, his last name was Thanos. I don't know if the Marvel pronunciation
Thanos,
is correct or
Thanos. Actually, yeah. Oh my god, I should shut up because I'm probably wrong.
He had that win against the Greek player, so there was a lot of Thanos and Hurkacz memes from the Marvel X tennis world, which Josefina is a proud part of.
I'm working my way up.
Extra points to whoever can guess which two actors let Josefina into the Marvel universe.
Dun 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 dun. Okay, we'll continue now. You can reach out to us on our social medias. You'll get those in the outro.
An honorable mention in Group D is Diego Schwartzman because he had a great one versus Tsitsipas and led Argentina's 3-0 win against Greece. Great from Diego, so but also a little bit concerning for Tsitsipas because he does seem to still be struggling with some sort of shoulder or elbow injury. So that's going to be interesting because, remember, he has semifinal points to defend at the Australian Open. So
that is not very sexy. That was a poor adjective. I'm sorry. I lost a lot in the Djokovic conversation, as you can probably tell.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's keep going. So the other semifinal is Canada versus Russia. So yes, Canada did actually make it to the semifinals, and they were the first place in Group C. On what grounds, we are actually not sure because I was so confused by the points and blah, blah, blah that was going on in Group C because it looked like they lost, but apparently they didn't.
But hey, we're not complaining.
We're not complaining. I didn't even want to mention it. I just had to because I was so confused. But they had some solid 2-1 wins against Germany and Great Britain and Félix Auger-Aliassime? Oh my goodness. Français. Is headlining them. So let's go. We love some Felix action. And we got some more Felix Chapo doubles action. We love that. They're such a good team and they're such good friends and their fist bumps are out of this world. So
very easy on the eyes team as well.
Oh yeah. So they lost their first match together against the US, but won against Great Britain. And actually also honorable mention, Felix defeated Alexander Zverev today. I would redact his name, but then you wouldn't know who I'm talking about. 6-4, 4-6, 6-3, and he did that today. Well, actually, the thing is that the time zone is so confusing. Like, today was tomorrow, but, like, yesterday. Anyways, yeah. It was on January 6th. That's my point.
Yes.
Yeah, so... Team USA was, like, roughing it or something, because everything I saw in the draws, they literally only had Fritz and Isner playing singles and doubles against all three other teams, so that was so odd. Yeah, it was very odd.
That is weird. So. But honestly, keep an eye out for Taylor Fritz going into these next couple of weeks and months, because I think he played Zverev, too, and had a tough loss to him, but... I mean, he's still been doing really well. And also, Felix will be re-entering the top 10 and kicking Yannick Sinner out and slotting himself back in there on Monday. So it's actually a really exciting group of people at that tail end of the top 10 or right next to the top 10 who are actually doing really well now. Again, Bautista Agut being one of them. And what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, yeah. Also, this is Felix back-to-back wins against Zverev for Felix because at Wimbledon, he beat him, too. So I am loving this trend that he's going on. All right. Do you want to talk about Canada's opponent in the semifinal, or should I?
The Ruskies? I got this one.
Okay.
Yeah. So Russia is the other semifinalist. They will be playing against Canada. So they are the first place in Group B with a nice 7-2 record. Pretty solid. They had a perfect 3-0 win against Australia and on home turf. That was kind of painful. But they also had solid 2-1s versus France and Italy. So the star of the team, obviously, bestie Danielle. And the one person keeping Daniil from an undefeated record was surprisingly Hugo Humbert.
Crazy. Not complaining, right? Though. Like, it's so nice to see him back.
And actually winning. And
yeah, especially after all that hate he got on social media.
Oh my god, that was so sad. That was wanted to cry. So honorable mention in Group B, the Australians. Again, Demonor low-key popped off. This week, he has not played well. In about, like, infinity, maybe more. but he defeated Berrettini and then Humbert. And if Humbert defeated Medvedev, that means that technically Demonor defeated Medvedev, right?
Then I was thinking that yesterday as I was watching Berrettini play, because Berrettini defeated Humbert and Humbert defeated Daniil, so I was like, does this mean that Berrettini is also going to defeat him? But sadly, he lost in a very close three-set match. But that's okay. But great for Demon. Mm-hmm. Very good tennis from him.
And Ugo.
Yes, and Ugo. Also wanted to highlight on the topic of ATP Cup, and because I have to talk about Berrettini, he has a new sponsorship with Hugo Boss. And I actually really liked the stuff that he was wearing. Didn't play as amazing results as he did in last year's ATP Cup, but that's totally fine. I'm excited to see what he does, or I'm really just excited to see him on tour. But along with him, we've had a lot of more clothing sponsorship changes.
Yeah, Layla
Fernandez with Lululemon, Sophia Kennan with Free People, Gael Monfils with Decathlon.
Oh, Isla had the Penguin.
Isla with Penguin. One Penguin is a new some brand she's with.
That
so a lot
cute.
Of cool
those are cute.
Yeah, and I think Shelby Rogers also finally got a sponsorship with Fila, so a lot there. But just to conclude,
Fila's
our ATP
not unique though, so like she's not quirky.
To conclude our ATP Cup talk, we're gonna throw out some picks to win. I'm going with the safe bet and just saying Russia. Their player, I think his name is Roman Safulin, or he is, seems to be like the Karatsev of this year. He slotted his way in there onto the team. He's been playing doubles with Medvedev throughout, and he also is, they've been doing well in doubles, so a lot of these ATP Cup ties are honestly coming down to the doubles matches, because sometimes there's a huge discrepancy in, like, the first singles player and the second singles player, or sometimes it's like the matchups are really close, so then it comes down to the doubles. So we'll see.
I did not even try to put the second singles name for the Polish team. I just know her catch.
Kamil Majtrzak. Okay, whatever. I'm sorry. I really am sorry.
That
I'm trying.
Proves my point, guys. So, for my pick to win, I'm actually picking Spain. I think, because they're doing really well, and also they have a lot of, like, solid players.
I would love to see...
All of their players are solid.
I would love to see an RBA versus Medvedev in the final, just to see how RBA really does, because it's...
That's a real test. That's a true test. Yeah.
Let's talk about WTA now. So the WTA 500 tournament going on right now is the Adelaide International One, a terrible place. So the 2020 champion was Ash Barty, and our defending champion is Iga Swiatek. But let's talk about Ash Barty first, aka our Aussie queen, the Barty Party, the best. And she's into the quarterfinals, where she will face Sophia Kennan. So after her bye in the first round, Barty defeated Coco Gauff 4-6, 7-5, 6-1. She was actually down a break in the second set and 2 points away from being down 5-2. So a huge comeback there. It is really promising to see Ash doing really well already. Obviously a great match from Coco as well. I'm loving seeing the number one next to Ash's name wherever she goes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have Sophia Kennan, who is slaying in Australia once again, 2 years later. 2 years. Yeah, that's right. 2 years.
The Motorola curse has worn off.
Yeah. So, Miss Girl has not played in 6 months, but she is back now, apparently. And she defeated Ila Tomljanovic, who's been playing nicely recently. 3-6, 7-6, 6-3.
Isla had 3 match points and was serving for the match.
Yeah, so that's...
I was heartbroken.
Same. I don't know what else to say. But, apparently a quote from Sophia Kennan was, "It feels like people forgot about me." Well, they did, including me.
She's not wrong.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're not wrong. I'm sorry if that makes you feel sad, but at least it gives you motivation to... play tennis.
I'm mixed on my opinions of her. Like, I don't know if I like her.
I don't know.
I think I'm apathetic. I really think I'm apathetic.
I think
like, when
she's
I watch
just
her,
American.
When I watch her tennis, I'm like, oh, this is fun. Like, there's nothing wrong with her tennis. It's just like, I don't know. Her on-court attitude sometimes amuses me. Like the anger, the constant crying and then coming back from difficult places, because her anger and crying honestly helps her. Like,
I don't take them seriously. That's my problem.
Yeah. It's just funny.
Yeah, she just looks funny.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, Ash Barty versus Sophia Kennan, definitely interesting. So let's see how a previous and pretty recent Australian Open champion does against the most anticipated player of the 2022 Australian Open. Because, like, with Novak not being here, I think all eyes are on Ash Barty for all fields. She's going to win men's and women's singles, guys. Look out. Look out. She's coming for everything.
All right, so our next, quarterfinal, right? Our next quarterfinal is Vika Azarenka versus Iga Swiatek. So Azarenka played her doubles partner, and actually now they've become really good friends ever since their Indian Wells final. They both have a lot of respect for each other, and I love it. Bedosa admires her so much, but Azarenka defeated Bedosa 6-3, 6-2. Not Bedosa's best performance by far. I was watching parts of that match. It was not ideal, but she's still been a player who's really been on fire, so certainly credit to Vika. We're seeing her find her groove on the hard courts again. Remember, she is a twice former Australian Open champion, so we'll see if she can bring some of that back and from her 2020 US Open run on the hard courts. But let's see how she fares against Iga. Again, Bedosa and Azarenka took out the number one seeds in the first round of the doubles, and they're now into the double semis as well, so a very awesome tournament on Azarenka's part, but also a very awesome tournament from the defending champion Iga Swiatek.
Yeah, so she has played some phenomenal tennis this past tournament. I mean, like, really, really solid tennis, because every single one of her wins have been, like, those two-set wins with the low points on the other side. You know, kind of reminds me of...
Clinical. They're clinical wins.
OMG. Not that word.
She is not exempting any players
from making her their air, clinical whatever. Performance.
Yes.
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 Yes. So, again, it's giving me, you know, low-key flashbacks from 2020 French Open. Honestly, that was a really nice result. I was super happy about that.
She's not throwing away any shots.
And it looks like it's not Shark Week.
Wait, do you get it? Do you get what I just said?
I just made another joke, but
she's not throwing away any shots.
Oh, she's taking them. Yeah, as she should. As everyone should. In case you haven't noticed, we're pro vags. So Iga defeated Leila Fernandez 6-1, 6-2.
This was kind of sad.
No, yeah, I was watching a little bit of the match. This was a
beatdown.
Yeah, it's not necessarily, like, Iga was playing really well, but, like, Leila did not, she was not on court that day.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah,
everybody it's has okay. their days, and she's young, you know, she has time. I say that for everyone, but, like, whatever. Also, yeah. I keep forgetting, like, I always forget how young Iga is. Always.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then there's another quarterfinal going on, Rybakina versus Rogers. And
is that is that a quarterfinal or is that a lead up to the quarterfinal?
Quarterfinal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Shelby Rogers took out Maria Sakkari earlier, so.
Yeah.
This girl does not disappear.
Yeah. She.
Unfortunately.
No, she's the one you can count on for the upsets, always.
Yes. Yeah. The last player we want to talk about is Kaya Yuvan. Apologies if I mispronounced her name, but she is someone who caught my eye when she was playing Iga at the French Open last year. I think it was that tournament. And,
first round.
And they were talking about how the two of them have actually been really good friends for a long time. So she's a 20-year-old from Slovenia, ranked exactly number 100. Oh, sorry, 21-year-old. Did I say 20? I might have said 20. 21-year-old. Again, we love supporting our young talents. She certainly seems like that young player who can bring that energy and even, like, who knows, win this whole thing. So it's awesome to see that depth opening up. But her biggest win and her first top 10 win came just a couple days ago when she defeated Aryna Sabalenka 7-6, 6-1. But, I mean, Sabalenka was totally off that day. She hit 18 double faults. So, I mean, definitely that's about over 4 games gifted right there. But, you know, still amazing because Kaya hit 0 defaults, so yay. But aside from that, she seems like a really cool gal. She's good friends with Iga, as I said. She's looking to study computer science. She's a self-proclaimed nerd. Well, maybe not self-proclaimed, but she certainly is a nerd in the best way. So I like seeing intellectual people joining and making strides on the tennis tour.
Not another underhanded comment. Oh my god, I love that.
Or should I say backhanded comment?
That was
anyways.
Okay. No. Yeah.
Let's talk about the last few that we have on this roster.
Yeah, so we have like a gazillion, specifically 4 250s happening. There's going to be plenty more next week, so be on the lookout for those. And their titles are so creative. You would not believe. So we have WTA 250 Melbourne Somerset 1. It's the one. Remember that. So Naomi Osaka. Oh my god, she's back and I'm so happy. And she has a Sesame Street character.
Yes!
That is
yes.
So cute.
So cute. She also launched her skincare line. I mean, she's doing
such
great.
Such a queen. She's thriving.
We should do a try-on video. Or I think I could do it, because I think that...
yeah. Maybe in the summer. Because it's for melanated skin tones, and I, while being half Hispanic, am also quite Russian.
you're tending a little Medvedev and Rublev at the moment.
Yeah.
Not so much the other half.
It's January, guys. I'm trying my best. Okay, so Naomi Osaka has been cruising through the competition with a smile on her face. She's honestly looked so happy. Like, she's glowing. And
she was laughing during her match, which was so nice.
So cute. She's amazing. So she defeated Elise Cornet 6-4, 3-6, 6-3 in her first match back since the US Open. She crushed Zenevska with 2 breadsticks and faces Petkovic in the quarters. So we're excited for that. Also, just a side note, Elise Cornet has been speaking out a lot for Peng Shui, and I appreciate it. Like,
I do appreciate
it. She hasn't
it.
Been my favorite in the past, but I appreciate it.
And also, this is her 17th consecutive season on the WTA Tour.
Elise?
Let that sink in. And she has constantly remained a fighter.
Where's Elise Mertens?
Oh, that's a good question. She kind of disappeared last year.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a very poor choice of wording. She sort of, like, just didn't make any big results. But the main thing about Osaka here is it's great to see her back playing well. Great to see her happy. She talked in press conferences in the past couple of days about her taking the pressure off of herself by not worrying too much about the results and the rankings, which she said she was doing too much of before. And she also will be participating in press, so that is awesome to see that we'll be able to hear from her. And along with this legend, we've got another legend in the ATP 250 Melbourne Somerset, Rafael Nadal.
Yeah, so Rafael Nadal. Oh my god, Rafael Nadal. I forgot for a second there. But he has spoken out on the Djokovic situation, and his response, it was perfect. And honestly, it reminds us of the king he is. It was so great of him to actually take a stance on this, and in our opinion, the correct stance and the logical approach that makes sense. Like he said, trust science, trust medical stuff.
Experts,
yeah. I was going to say that, but then I thought about the quote-unquote medical experts that approved his exemption, but, like, whatever, we're good. So the point is, Rafael Nadal is a king. You can go watch, I think it's on Tennis Channel, like, the Tennis Channel Instagram or Twitter, the little video, what he said exactly, but it was all phenomenal. And he is also through to the quarterfinals at the Melbourne Somerset. This one doesn't have a number. After winning his match versus Baronkis, 6-2, 7-5. And a quote from that video was that for He said, the only, for me, clear thing is if you are vaccinated, you can play in the Australian Open and everywhere. And the world, in my opinion, have been suffering enough to not follow the rules. So you can derive what he means from this. But the point is, here we are. We are in Melbourne.
Good one.
Thank you.
That was good.
I was waiting for that.
Yes. And key thing to note here is Nadal has been consistently vocal about being pro-science, trusting the medical experts, saying really great, smart, and sympathetic and responsible things during the pandemic. But we never see him, like, or we rarely see him be take clear stances when it involves, like, player debacles or drama or controversies. He typically is very, quote-unquote, diplomatic. But
he's
to see him
silent.
Taking... And this is in response to a question a reporter obviously asked him about his views on the Djokovic situation. So he clearly isn't holding back. A great, solid answer from him. So he clearly has his thoughts and wants them to be heard, and I love that.
But yeah, exactly. And I really appreciate it because, like we talked about in, like, hot headlines, like, it's gotten so murky, everything that has to do with the Djokovic situation, because there's so many issues intersected into, like, one big one. But when people like Rafael Nadal stick with their original opinions about things, like, no matter what kind of area he's being asked the question from, that is respectable. And honestly, that is something to look up to and
he's
to
certainly
try
the
to
most,
achieve.
He's certainly the most upstanding of the big three, in my opinion.
He really is.
Like, Josefina texted me this earlier, but remember, like, Federer didn't speak out about Zverev when that whole thing was being involved with his talent agency and management agency or whatever,
yeah.
and Zverev.
He literally said,
he,
like,
kind
it's
of
not
defended
my place.
Him. Yeah,
it's not my place.
He didn't want to get into it, and, I mean, Nadal didn't really say much either, but... You know, you can see here that he is really taking the step to speak out. Last but not least, in ATP 250 Adelaide 1, Tanasi Kokkinakis has been having some great results. He's into the quarterfinals of a tournament for the first time since, like, forever. He defeated Francis TFO in one of his early rounds in a really great 3-set match, I believe. So, Tanasi is looking great. He had that great kind of comeback and good match versus Tsitsipas at the Australian Open last year. So, definitely has good memories coming into the tournament this year. And I really, really want to see him live up to that potential and get back to where he was, like, 4 years ago when people were, like, talking about him all the
time.
He's
so injury-plagued. It's so sad.
Yeah, it's so sad.
But now he's looking good. So yeah.
Don't forget... Amidst all the drama, there is actual tennis going on. We are excited about the start of the season. I think we kind of underhyped the fact that this is our first episode of the 2022 tennis season, and we are really excited about it. We have a lot of cool things coming your way with the podcast, kind of expanding. We, you know, dabbling in writing, getting some cool guests on the podcast, other collaborations, getting our name out there, and really finding ways to, at the really priority of it is, how can we make the podcast more engaging? How can we really engage with you guys with our social media and stuff? Because at the end of the day, that's what this is about, building this
you
community
guys.
Of Gen Z. Gen Z podcasters, of Gen Z
tennis fans.
Yes. Good night.
Yes.
We're tired. 'Thank you so much for joining us, and that is Game, Set, and Match for today.
If you like this episode, please let us know and stay tuned for more. We'll be providing you all the coverage of the rest of the season and, of course, all the tea on tour.
Email us at holdontoyourracket@gmail.com for any questions and leave a rating on whatever platform you're listening on.
Hold On To Your Racket is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts.
Follow us on social media at holdontoyourracket on Instagram and at HOTYR_tennispod on Twitter. Our next episode will be released next week as the Australian Open swing continues.
And remember, my name is Josefina.
And my name is Shravya.
And if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to hold on to your racket until next time.